The World Show with Nikki B.
I'm Nikki B, and this, of course, is a very special guest. It's been a while she's been on the show. Wow, Mtswakazi, take it over. Wow. Yes, what a greeting, Mtswakazi. How absolutely beautiful. Where are you now, on the Eastern Cape?
Yeah, I'm in Gabula, Heyskamahoek.
Yes.
That's the English name that is given to the village. I'm under the mountain of Ndoda, where it lies the bones of the great John Msobomvu, Chief Makoma, who fought so many colonial wars against colonial invasion. And I'm currently here following my journey of work, working with the land, working with women, working with children, and trying to use culture, music, to preserve history and to preserve our heritage. Yeah, so that's Gabula, Heyskamahoek. They call it Ndozaphuka, or things that break apart. I don't know which things, but yeah.
Maybe it's colonization, which needs to break apart. Yes. Beautiful, Mtswakazi. What a beautiful intro. You know, that was even better than just saying hello with words. Tell us a little bit about that song that you were playing, actually, using the bow.
Thank you, Nikki. Yeah, thank you. The song originates from a writer, one of the scripts in the Bible called King David, coming from the history of King Solomon and Queen Sheba.
Yes.
And I adapted the original arrangement of the song from a legendary bow player musician called, by the name of Nofini Shidwili, all the way from Engqoko village. She passed away in 1984, and she left this rich heritage of music. So I heard her during my first year at the University of Fort Hare. I heard the music. Something just made me cross over the bridge somewhere, and it felt that there was a lot of people around me, and this music started healing me and soothing my heart, and not just being, you know, as music of just healing the heart, but, you know, healing self. And so that's where the song comes from. I adapted the arrangement from Nofini Shidwili, the one titled Umwobega Davide in the album Amagqokenza by Mtswakazi.
Yes.
Yeah, thank you.
And I was going to actually play the album version, but maybe I'll play a different song in a moment. But beautiful. You know, it's been a while since you have been on the World Show. And I know that there's a lot of new members to the World Show family. And for some reason this month, as I was preparing for Women's Month, I just felt like I needed Mtswakazi, and I needed your music and your message. And there's so much I want to talk about that's been happening since you were on the World Show and in recent times. But before we go there, I want to go a little bit back to the roots, where you come from and how you came to be so closely connected to Indigenous music and instrumentation.
Thank you, Nikki. It's actually very interesting because I come from a history of being vocally trained. I was trained at the London Trinity College, specializing, or rather majoring in voice. I did a lot of opera productions, from the Magic Flute to La Traviata. And coming from this history, rich history of choral music and choral music composers around the Eastern Cape. So, I mean, it's been a long journey, but now this is how it gets interesting for me, is that when I arrived to pursue music at the University of Fort Hare, that was in 2006. So I was quite sure that I was going to continue with the opera. So now I came across this indigenous bow instruments hanging on the wall. My former lecturer, Tandile Mandela, said, "I'm looking for someone who can sing like Miriam Makeba." And I'm like, "No, I don't sing like Miriam Makeba. Me, I sing like me, you know." And then I come in and she says to me, "Have you seen these instruments before?" And I said, "No." "You think you can play this instrument?" And I said, "Yes." Took the instrument on the wall, started plucking and playing, combining it with the voice. And I think that's when I gave birth, or rather pioneered, the style of music called Xhopera, because Xho is not necessarily narrow in terms of language and the people. But then I called it Xho because when I hear the word paw, I think about the food that I ate growing up, which is from Israel or the Calabash. I think about the music. I think of music. I think about the style of wrapping my hair. I think about the beats. I think of things that I've heard and seen with my own two eyes growing up. And having visited my grandmother a lot, who is a spiritual healer, this is where now the history combines. Then I started getting curious to know more about these instruments. Like, this is the calabash, the stick, and the string. Who played this instrument? Why they played this instrument? So my history of coming across these instruments is quite very long, but it's been worth it. And I regard myself as a learner even today, wanting to learn more about our indigenous music and history. Yeah.
And not only are you a learner, but you're also a teacher, and you impart, you share this knowledge with others. And I want to go there. But before we go there, let's stay at the front, at the beginning. Because, okay. You know, like as you say, you started with choral music. But what were those influences? And in a way, did you find that when you did start, you discover the bow, when you did go back to your grandmother, was there something in you that was familiar with this from your childhood?
Never familiar. I've never come across any indigenous music in my life. I've grown up in a township listening to kwaito.
Yes.
House music was not popular then, you know, listening to a lot of ballad. At some point, I was convinced that I was in the States. We listened to Beyonce's music. Not that we didn't have a choice, you know, we were fed a lot of American music. But thanks to my parents, because it was compulsory every Sunday that at home we listened to Fela Kuti every Sunday from 8 until a.m. in the
morning. Yes.
In the morning. And we listen and watch documentaries from Mambusi Mhlongo and from Miriam, the late Miriam Makeba. And I, for a moment, I grew up very, very, very being much convinced that I'm Sibongile Khumalo at some point. I was into Tandi. So that was my childhood in music. So I feel like I've been deprived of getting to know who I am. And it sometimes feel that if I had ever started knowing this music, maybe from the age of 7, you know, things would have changed. Things would have been far with how people carry their culture with pride. So I don't know. I've never had a connection from the beginning. Yes. But as soon as I started having the connection, this music changed my life completely. It brought me here and it made me understand life in a very different perspective, you know, from, you know, your typical notion of being raised in a society that has a lot of expectations from you as a human being. I mean, you must go to school, graduate, get a husband. If you're in the Eastern Cape, you must get saved. Accept Jesus in your life. So I grew up listening to church music as well.
Yes.
So yeah, that's how I would say when there's a disjuncture within the connection, but somehow it connected.
You know? It was meant to be. And also, you know, that was actually going to be my next question. And you did touch on that a little bit, because I was going to say to you, what has the discovery of this music and these traditions done for you? Could you name it in a couple of words? How has it changed your life? You said it's changed your life, and I imagine so.
Yeah. So back in 2013, I experienced a very tragic moment in my life of losing my four-year-old boy who drowned in a swimming pool.
Oh.
And that got me very confused in terms of now what an approach to life, you know, could be. And something about listening to this music changed how I see things and starting to think positively that, you know, there's a reason behind every action. You know, one, that the child is being taken by water, which is, you know, a spirit on its own. You know, it's a symbol of purification for self, depending on how you unpack it. So, and I always say to people, you know, losing him, it became my spiritual awakening through this music.
Yes.
Because now I started thinking that if I carry this instrument and play to heal myself first, then it can be easy to heal the next person. And I started coming with ideas of, you know, bringing the community together and asking why heal and who heals the healer. because, you know, people take healing for granted. So, I mean, this is how it has shaped things for me 360 degrees, you know. It's my lullaby. It's my everyday life. I don't play balls. I have a very beautiful relationship with them. I try to understand them as much as I think that we are trying to understand each other. So I'm also blessed by sharing stages like people like Matt Rossini, who tell us, you know, the original way of making the bowl without using any materials like electricity and all of those things. So, I mean, it's helping me meet with the people that I think that I'm meant to meet in my life. Because every time, just lastly, every time when people see me carry the bowl, they will always say, "You remind me of my grandmother. You know, so-and-so used to play the synthesis." And then we used to sit in the Ronavel around the fire and have popcorn, and our grandmother was it's always a reminder of something that happened in history,
yes.
You know, and it's helping me cultivate myself in a better way to become the better me that I am comfortable to be me through what I have and what I'm given. Yeah.
Absolutely beautiful. And, you know, really my heartfelt condolences go out to you with the passing of your son. But it is precisely that I have experienced healing through your music. So not only, as you say, have you healed, but in turn you heal others. I think I'm going to play a song off the album now. And I was going to play Umhobe Ka David, but I think you did that too beautifully. So the next one I wanted to play is, I'm going to try, but you're going to have to repeat it after me. Ulo Tiko Omkulu.
Yes, that one is called Insibigan Sikana. There's a long story behind it. Thank you for playing that song.
Well, let's play the song.
You're so in tune, Nikki.
I told you I had a feeling that you had to come and celebrate Women's Month with us on the World Show. So I'm going to play the song, and then we can actually talk about the meaning of the song when we come back on the other side. With me on the World Show, the beautiful, the one and only Mtwakazi. Mtwakazi on the World Show. Absolutely beautiful. We are coming in and out of the sound, Mtwakazi. So beautiful. I'm going to have to share this video that I am filming you doing this because it's so incredible. And, you know, again, when I played that song, just the level, the depth of healing that it imparts. Tell us a little bit about that one, Ulo Tiko Omkulu, because you said there's an interesting story behind it.
So, you know, Nikki, I must say, you are so in tune. Your realms are at the highest point right now. We are currently working on this song with the children. And I was telling Luanda Gogwana yesterday that this is one of the hardest songs to work on. The title of the song is called Insimbi Kansikana. So Nsikana was a prophet. And during the time of the missionaries, so he preached against Makanda Kangwele and introduced Christianity. Mr. Tajega argues that by the time Tsigana started having a vision, he dreamt about a button without a hole, and he dreamt about a train that was coming, that had fire coming out of it. And he dreamt about a book with red lips. So the book would represent the Bible and the train and money, you know, which actually brought about a big confusion to people at the time, because they used to trade, you know, they used to work in the land. So here's Makanda on the right, on the left-hand side, and here's Tsigana in this contradiction, Makanda saying that, "Let us stick to our roots. Let us stick to who we are. Let us remain in the paths of our forefathers before, because if we don't do so, we will lose the path, we will lose the plot." So Datatia Jaga argues that, coming to the song, because this is how things started going a bit sour, you know, for us black people. in the day. So now, Jajaga argues that already Reed, the founder of the Wesley, we call it Amawisile Church, was already in South Africa at the time when Tsikana had mentioned to the people that he saw the vision. So that now there's no ways that the vision that Tsikana just saw, it was mainly influenced by the missionaries at the time. So Intsimbikang Tsikane speaks about Tsikane calling the people into God, and he says there's a God above. Let us look up to him because he will be the one that answers our problems. He's our savior. And since now, then there was the introduction of Christianity, and then people let go of their livestock, people let go of their land, people started going to school, being decolonized, knowing better than the other. And then that's how the world for me became a mess. Now there's another adaptation of Prof. Dagi. So he sang again at Forte, and then he speaks about so now Tsikane is speaking about God as the higher power instead of seeing the God in us, seeing a God in a tree, seeing a God in water. Spirituality, we praise his cowcows are saying it, and we praise his cowcows are saying it, because as Black people, we've always known that the higher power, you can reach the higher power through connection, not through the higher power as an imagination or a physical self that, you know, can be praised. That's why we have Rastafarism. That's why we have Buddhism. That's why we have atheists, people who are non-believers. So this song reminds us now that where exactly it began, the contradiction, you know.
Between, yes, that separation, actually.
Yes, yeah. You're actually right. So, yeah, I can go as far as that. But thank you for playing that song. It means a lot to me. You have no idea.
Well, I don't even know, because I wanted to choose all of them. They're so beautiful. But again, you know, this is the work that you're doing. And I think this is really just such incredible work, because it's almost for me, and I mean, add on or tell, correct me if I'm wrong, but you know, it's kind of the starting point for you on this current journey has been the music. But the way that this ties into legacy, into heritage, into both from honoring what came before you and from imparting to the next generation. Tell us about some of the things that you are doing at the moment that are so meaningful to so many, actually, to young children, as you say, to women, and just to Mother Nature, the Earth, our planet.
Thank you, Nikki. So I'm currently the founder of an academy. I named it the Tosi Tosi Creative Academy, which I envision as a state-of-the-art rural academy based in a rural area to birth creatives and to change the narrative and policies around how our children are learning under spaces of poor infrastructure, of a lack of good service, of the inequalities that you won't find in urban spaces where children are provided well in terms of their education. And in working with Tosi Creative Academy, I was inspired by becoming the 2020-2021 cohort for the Atlantic Fellows for Racial Equity, which is named as AFRE, and hosted by the Nelson Mandela Foundation and Columbia University. So the Atlantic Fellows is looking at leaders who understand that they will lead by following. So I'm currently in the village incubating the ideas of history, which is what we spoke about. I am currently working with children on and a very great team of that I would say the ancestors blessed me with. We are currently doing a volume one of the Global Heritage Shoot, where we represent the energies of women as women who played a pivotal role in the society by working the land, by giving birth to children, by just simple things like breastfeeding the children, you know, and teaching children in basics of living life and great livelihoods. So, and then in the heart of this, there's Iselwa, the calabash. So a calabash is a multifunctional object that you can use as means of nutrition and with the seeds inside. So we go through a primary phase that we call the making of the calabash. So we go to the trees and we ask for permission to enter the forest. we cut off the trees, we dry them. Then after the drying in October is the planting season of the calabash. And then after the planting, we harvest. After the harvesting, we dry again. After we dry again, we put together the instrument. It's so much fun stuff. You spoke about how it works in connecting with nature. For instance, now we are in the depth of COVID-19, you know, and it's frustrating for children not to be able to go visit each other. But you do these exercises in nature. The space is child friendly. You can breathe plants. Yes. You can breathe the fresh air. You can breathe the trees. And it's a naturally social distancing kind of practice as well. So I'm also working with a team of different great artists. Others are history photographers. Others are journalists. These are amazing people who just called me and said, Mtshakazi, we love the work that you do. Others are painters. And then they came to establish a relationship with the academy as well. Amazing. And then lastly, we occupied a school that was vandalized. It was built in 1985, named after the chief Liso here in the village. So they taken out the electricity. They did a lot of damage. So we did a two Saturdays of a school holiday program. And we were there, parents and the kids, a very great intergenerational solidarity space. No issues of ageism. Everybody was just dancing and singing. We're not a well-funded academy. Hope everybody's listening.
Yes.
but we do what we can, and we believe with or without funding, with, beyond, and against, we will just continue the work that was given to us. So then now I'm teaching at Sonwabile during the week. Tuesdays and Thursdays, and then for the school holiday programs, it would be all the Saturdays of depending on the length of the holiday.
You know, I must honestly give you a big round of applause, and I'm sure everybody is, because this work is such important work on so many levels. And thank you for explaining that. And again, I'm going to echo what you said. And if there are people out there, if there are people benefactors, if there are those that want to support such an initiative, as you say, you've started with or without funding, but it is the vision that I believe will carry you through, because this is exceptionally important work. Let me play a song, and then I'm going to, after the song, talk about this incredible mini documentary profile. You spoke about the fellowship, and I'm going to post that on my social media so that people can actually see it, because this really is so beautifully done. But for now, let's play another song, and the one that I've chosen is Ulzwi.
Ulizwi.
Yes. Sorry. It's anything you want to say about Ulizwi before I play it?
So Ulizwi comes from, again, with the history of where I am in the Eastern Cape, that is influenced by so much Christianity. It's from the Bible, Genesis, and it says, in the beginning there was the Word, and the Word was God, and the Word said. So I'm very critical. I'm not against or offended by Christianity, but I'm very critical with Christianity. So it's as an artist there, I'm unpacking what a vision of a world that would exist without higher powers, you know, just everybody being equal. Yes. And really created what they do. So in the beginning, I say, I was the Word, and the Word is me, and God is me, and God is a woman. Thank you.
Thank you so much. Mtshakazi, the incredible, with me on the World Show. Check this one out. Absolutely beautiful. It's off her album. You're going to have to say it for me, Mtshakazi.
Please.
No, the name of the album.
The name Amaxokwenza.
There we go. I'm getting it. On the World Show. Yes.
Yes.
Beautiful. I have, by the way, just posted this incredible video of Metwakazi, both on Facebook and Twitter. I'll also put it onto Instagram so you can check it out. It's not a long watch, but boy, is it so rich. And you know, it's so good to see this kind of thing recorded, because it shows you as an artist, you as a person, you as an artist, but also, you know, these different aspects about your music. It's such a definitive video. Tell me how the video itself came about, or what purpose it served within the fellowship, the Atlantic Fellowship.
So the Atlantic Fellows for Racial Equity, South Africa, have commissioned Flatbush Film Studios, which is a film crew from New York, Manhattan, to capture all the stories of the fellows who are doing groundwork, and to kind of help give a visual representation of the work, and that to understand that there are also more creative ways of trying to promote your work through a visual way. And so this platform was given to actually showcase our work for getting more funding to make someone out there on the other side of the world who doesn't understand how hard it is to work in rural spaces where you have lack of water, where you have a lack of livestock that is, you know, is sustainable for people, because, you know, we also drink from the same water that the livestock drink from. So you for someone who's never been in a rural space, that the video shows the difficulties that we are facing and how we're striving, and how we're striving under circumstances where our children are learning under these circumstances that are very risky for them. They have to walk long distances going to school. Their parents have to walk long distances fetching the food, the water. And now in this documentary, we are also unpacking how we can also use a calabash as means of a economic upliftment for rural spaces. Because as I've mentioned that, you know, the object can be a craft that can use so many things. I mean, in so many different functions to it. So the film helps another person at the same time to get to watch how the elders and children can work beautifully in the same space, you know, sharing knowledge and sharing skills. Like, for instance, in the same video, we visited Kafka, Committed Artists for Cultural Advancement. It's an academy, beautiful. Mama Miriam Makeba once went to visit them. It's at Vista University. I volunteered there as a vocal teacher. And we invited Mama Dosini to come along. So also we were showing the what I call the a cultural exchange. Yes, yes. A national cultural exchange between an urban space. I mean, if you go to Mamelodi, you are gonna come through. You're gonna come through a young child that's never seen a horse, something similar. Yes. To a horse. So imagine doing the cultural exchange of bringing jazz music. This is a legendary school of jazz music, and combining jazz music with bow instruments, as jazz music itself has been the music of the last sounds of reminder when people were taken as slaves during slavery. So how do we bring back that energy together and work together to strive and remain preserving history through music? And it shows the landscape. It shows how we make the calabashes, how we dry them, how we put them together, and how we form the children into an orchestra as well. Yes. So it's a very, I think for me, it's a very brief, beautiful way that can help as part of the package. You can, I'm aiming to put it with a lot of documents that explain further about the work that I do. But at the same time, I think it's watchable, it's short, it's brief, and you can be able to understand what's happening. Yeah.
It really struck me when I watched it, and I urge everybody to watch it. As I said, it's a short, easy watch, but boy, it's so rich. And, you know, I really big up to the people who made it as well for capturing the work that you are doing, which is so multi-layered. You know, even if we look at this concept of, you know, at the start of your journey, of your musical journey, it was Western forms of opera. And how that has, you know, evolved into this very deeply rooted thing, and now even extending to jazz, but also taking that knowledge and tradition from the likes of Madosini and sharing it. And it is a moment of living legacy. And I'm going to say this I'm going to stand by what I say publicly on air, but it is about time in this country where we see endeavors like yours absolutely get the support, the sponsorship, the finances, the resources to go further and bigger. Mm-hmm. And I really believe this is what we should be investing in. This is what we should be supporting. This is contemporary excellence that really deals with legacy, tradition, spirituality, as you say, and musical mastery. On that note, I also have to give big ups to Loyolo for also working with you and being part of the sound of your album. Maybe you want to say something about working with him.
Oh, wow. I keep on saying every day he's one of the best, you know, music composers that I've ever worked with. He's not in a good space right now. He just lost his mother.
Oh, I'm so sorry.
But he's keeping strong. He's doing the music and he's still producing the instruments. It's been, I'd say, you know, there's something beautiful and legendary about this work. And it doesn't run away with time. You know, you listen to Amakhokhwenza 20 years from now, you still get the feeling, same feeling you got the very first day you listened to the album. So it's been amazing. He's an amazing producer, sound engineer, guitarist, and so gifted with poetry, words, and lyrics as well. So I think the combination of us working this album together was a great combination of our ancestors, you know, meeting to combine this music to be birthed as what we call opera today.
Yes.
So, yeah.
And in fact, please send my condolences and my condolences on behalf of those from Kaya FM to Loyolo Lenga. Of course, he works very closely with Mtwakazi and the just a beautiful synergy that comes from their sounds. I think I've got to play this one. Ama Abimbola. Of all the albums, this is one of the hardest. Tell us about the song, Mashagazi. Look, I'm going to keep trying. I'm going to keep trying.
No, I'm giving you such a So Amakhokhwenza is titled Amakhokhwenza, meaning time for action, and the time is now. It says, let us not waste any moment without cultivating ourselves to becoming the free people that we want to be, the unchained freedom fighters. It says it's going to take the elders, it's going to take Izanuse, it's going to take the ancestors, it's going to take the political activists, it's going to take the educators, it's going to take the preachers, it's going to take the policemen, it's going to take all of us to shape and change this world to be what we want it to be. It's not going to take an individual.
Thank you so much.
So that's what we call time for action.
That is so absolutely true. Just to get it right, it's the first track on the album, Amakhokhwenza. Coming up on the World Show, the beautiful Mtwakazi with us. Check this one out. So incredibly beautiful.
There's a time for my
beautiful. Oh, I wish you were here in studio with us when this COVID thing moves past us. You've got to come back and be with us in studio and play.
Yes. The COVID, I'm definitely coming there to you.
I can't wait. We need this medicine. Mtokazi, thank you for the incredible work you do. Thank you for being just such an all-round artist and doing what an artist truly should, you know, being relevant, being contributing to society. Thank you so much for that. One thing before we go, is the album still available? I know it is digitally, and I'm going to also post a link to the album. Do you still have physical copies? Can people get them, or is it just digitally at this stage?
Okay. I think we should go digital with it. It's been very hard to print these days.
Yes. And to get people copies. That's okay. I'm going to definitely share a link so people can know what the album is about. And we're going to end with one last track off the album. Unfortunately, our time has run out. And this was the one I thought I was going to play earlier. Amakab Imbola.
Thank you.
Tell us about it. Sum it up.
In our language, they say it's Xhosa asitoligwa. So I'm giving this one as a homework to the audience to actually tell me and follow me on my social page media what it means to be Ikaba, Ikabimbo. But otherwise, Ukaba is to smear. Imbola is red ochre, you know, the makeup that you find wearing around your face. It's good for your skin. It's good for your digestive system. It's good for ukufutha, which is the steaming. It's good for painting.
Yes.
And we're just honoring ukuthi, you know, lamakaba, our traditionalists who know about our traditional ways, they are very smart in the brain. That's how it's translated.
Thank you, beautiful Mtokazi. Going to have you on the World Show again in the not-so-far future. Thanks for being with us, and whatever else you do this week, make sure that you keep shining, and of course, keep it kaya.
The World Show with Nikki B on Kaya 959.